Welcome to Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource, the radio show that helps you find answers on important topics like finances, senior housing, estate planning, real estate, health, and much more. Now, let's join Kupuna Wiki hosts, Brandon Lau and Andrew Leon.
And welcome to the Kupuna Wiki radio show. This month we are talking about senior housing and adult daycare centers. And in studio we have Glenn Furukawa, owner and practitioner with Furukawa Senior Services. Kupuna Wiki is Hawaii's senior resource. We talk to the best local professionals in the state regarding topics such as real estate, senior housing, estate planning, finance, and health, so our kupuna families can find the best resources in the midst of a life transition. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brandon Lau.
And I'm Andrew Leon,
your host for the Kupuna Wiki radio show.
Our title sponsor for today is Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
And now we have our real estate tip of the week brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
Conveyance tax is also known as real estate tax. Is a tax imposed on the transfer of real property at the state, county, or municipal level. This tax is generally calculated as a percentage of the sales price. If the property is transferred for free, such as between family members, it may be exempt from conveyance tax.
For more information on conveying real property, contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors at 753-9033. Well, again, today in studio, we have the pleasure of speaking with Glenn Furukawa, Director of Furukawa Senior Services. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks for being on our show. Now, you've been in the services service of seniors for quite some time, for a couple of decades now. And I know you've you own and operate your own daycare facilities. You consult with many other senior service practitioners on the island. Maybe you can share a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got involved in this field.
Sure, thank you very much. Yes, so it's been seemingly a short time, but really in the calendar, it's been a long time. It's been about over two decades now. Mm-hmm. And in that time, we were able to create some, what I believe, some very special opportunities for our seniors in our community with some community-based businesses, such as adult daycare, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and also a type 1 ARCH, or adult residential care home. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, just learning a lot. Of course, as our industry and the regulations have changed, so it's been very interesting and hopefully, at the end of the day, most helpful for our families that we serve.
And how did you get involved in this area of service? What inspired you to do so?
Thank you, Brandon. Great question. I would really give most credit to my dear grandmother, a very special person in my life. And grandma and grandpa, they had a really traditional Japanese home. Mm-hmm. And again, so as far as reading and writing and radio, television, speaking, everything, it was like being transplanted in Japan,
right?
Including the delicious food.
Yeah.
And so with that said, you know, I'd spent a lot of time with my dear grandparents, and they will be always some of the most special people in my life. And then it got to a point where they needed more care. I thought that it'd be a relatively easy transition, helping them to age in place, mm-hmm. and help them with services, and I thought that I would be able to coordinate that for them.
Right.
Come to find it was quite a tall order. And surprisingly. And so that was really the genesis for me to kind of be aware of what was and was not available in our community, mm-hmm. and then created some different opportunities. So not only my grandparents would benefit, but all the families that were in need of care would benefit.
So are you looking specifically for senior care for your grandparents who were Japanese speaking?
Yes, yeah. And that's how it started, right? Mm. Because language is so fundamental, and it is also very much related to how a person perceives the care that they're receiving. That
right.
is to say, if you can't communicate, it's very difficult to mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. this hurts, or this is what I need, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Very difficult without communication.
Right.
So in terms of care, that's how a person feels mm-hmm. about the care that they're receiving. And so what was really important, what I realized, is cultural sensitivity. And so the cultural sensitivity was to try to find people that understood not only the language, but the culture. In my case, it was the Japanese culture with my grandparents, But then to expand on that, because they couldn't simply be unique in their experience, but it was an experience that everybody shared, regardless of their ancestry. Mm-hmm. And so with that, yes, we were the very first Japanese-speaking senior care in the state of Hawaii, but then from there we expanded on that so that with a wonderful staff that I get to work with, people with language skills in Ilocano, Tagalog, Mandarin, Cantonese, Vietnamese, Japanese, we create a rainbow coalition of sorts,
right,
where we're not exclusive, but rather we're inclusive with our cultural sensitivity.
As far as your hiring practices, was that intentional to have people with all these different language capabilities be on staff?
It is, and that's a great question, Brandon. I think that the only thing more important than their language skills is their heart.
Mm.
And I always say that I cannot train heart, so on the basis of that, I hire based on heart.
Right. That's so true. So you started off first with an Arch One adult residential care facility, or did you start off with a daycare?
Exactly the other way. We started off by, getting things done first with adult daycare.
Okay.
And in our case, really, ignorance was bliss. We just kind of took the model of not what was available, but rather what would we want at that age? What would we find to be enhancing and stimulating with dignity and respect being most important? And the senior care model that has existed for so long is something that really, and it sounds harsh to say, but really it's a matter of storing and feeding. As long as we get those base minimum things done, then this can become senior care.
Right.
But in my mind, there's an opportunity with a paradigm shift not to give up on those that were older, but rather really to try to uplift and enhance. And this was a great opportunity for us to do that through socialization, arts, crafts, activities, excursions, entertainment, music, exercise on a daily basis, and it is absolutely amazing to see the kinds of changes, given the right opportunity, what people can do at any age.
Now, this daycare, is this the one in Mo'ili'ili or Pololo?
The daycare, we have Pololo,
okay,
and that's the Furukawa Living Treasure that is in Pololo.
Right.
And then after that, then now fast forward a number of years later, sitting in our local Costco, bumping into somebody that we've served for many years, and she said, "Glenn, we have this house, and Mom needs care. We know you have a full plate. Would you be interested in converting her house into a care home?"
Right.
And so I realized that that was a story that I've heard many, many times from the family saying, "Hey, this is great. The service is wonderful. You're taking care of Mom during the daytime. Weekends we need help, and nighttime we're really struggling." So again, that being part of the genesis of this whole plan moving forward, to say we need to expand our services, not only daytime, 24 hour, and then we created the Type 1 Arch, or adult residential care home, which is located in Kaneohe.
So that was how long ago has that been?
Oh, about 11 years ago now.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so both services are recognized by the Department of Health. So certification from the Department of Health for our adult daycare, and for our adult residential care home, we have a license also from the Department of Health.
Right. So it sounds like you kind of paved your own path to get to where you are. And along the way, you learned a lot.
It was.
Right.
And it was really interesting because on the books, there were provisions. And when I say on the books, meaning from local government, be it city, county, state, there were provisions for such entities to be created, community-based services.
Right.
And I firmly believe in the community-based service model. Why? Because it kind of deinstitutionalizes things, and it makes things smaller, more accessible, but also for families, especially for those loved ones suffering with dementia, it creates an environment that is familiar, maybe in their own neighborhood. And with that familiarity, that brings about comfort. So there were some allowances on the books, but at that time, we're going back 20 years ago, no one really knew how to execute that. So I went through a lot of work and a lot of paperwork. And finally, there's a very fine gentleman at the time, which was the Department of Human Services, who was handling at that time the daycares. And he said, "Glenn, you're a very stubborn person, and you're not going to go away anytime soon." And I said, "No."
Steadfast, maybe.
Steadfast, I appreciate that. Thank you. But there was a certain stubbornness about my desire and willingness to do what I felt was needed in our community for our seniors. And so we created within a residential area an adult daycare program.
Right.
And of that size, that was the very first one in the state.
No kidding.
That was allowed.
Wow.
With all the loops and hoops that we had to go through.
Huh.
Again, there are rules on the books that allowed for it, but you had to be willing to work through it all. And at that point, nobody had. So yeah, we did.
That sounds so amazing because, I mean, we do have a good number of adult daycare facilities out there, but you're saying only 20 years ago the community model was originated. So it wasn't that long ago that this started, and now you have quite a number out there.
Exactly.
And but when you say community-based, you had mentioned being within a neighborhood.
Yes.
Versus a commercial setting.
Yes,
right?
And thank you. That's a great distinction. So there were some very fine programs that existed then and still exist today, but there were larger settings.
Right.
And so what we wanted to do was bring that setting into a smaller setting that, again, familiarity and comfort, and also something that was easily accessible so that it was difficult for some of the family members to talk their mom and dad into going into a larger type of setting with a lot of unfamiliar people.
Right.
But their appetite was more for something that was scaled back, something that was smaller. So a house fit, and it just had not been done with that size at that time 20 years ago.
Right.
And now it's more popular. And
right.
Gratefully, I've helped a number of families start that way and businesses start that way.
That's great. Now, there's probably some more hoops to go through, right, in a residential area.
Yes.
You probably want the buy-in of the neighbors and let them know what's going on. And you have to worry about things like parking and traffic and all that kind of stuff. How difficult is it for somebody to create a daycare or an arch one in that sense?
It's not an easy task.
Yeah.
And one of the things I also do is business consultation. And so, in fact, just about an hour and a half ago, got a phone call from a gentleman who, because of the difficult economic times we're going through right now, he's saying, I want to start a new business, perhaps something in senior care, something that would be smaller on the size of, again, more community-based. And so it sounds like a wonderful idea, and there's some great opportunities. Unfortunately, when I speak with people, I can sense, though, that their thought is, this will probably take, what, 3 months, 4 months? And no. And I think that we all understand that when you go through all the different government entities and get everything done correctly so that you are recognized by the government, with all respect to Department of Health, Department of Human Services, whomever, then with that said, there is a way to do it correctly. And that does take time because, as you mentioned so well, Brandon, that it is a matter of being able to exist in harmony with your neighbors.
Right.
And that's really important.
Right. So you'd say maybe on average to start a community-based type of care facility could take 1 to 2 years, it sounds like.
Easily.
Yeah.
Right? Because some of the different departments you're going through, a single department without getting too technical could take anywhere from maybe 12 months on the short side to 18 months.
Right.
And then you're cleared for the next step. And then the next step takes more time and so on and so on. Because there could be things like construction involved, which requires permitting, and all these other types of things too. So it is a rather lengthy process, and it's something that you'd really want to understand everything involved before you make that type of commitment, either with your time or your finances.
Right. Well, Glenn, that was a great introduction. You're a wealth of knowledge. When we come back, we want to hear a little bit more about your services and what you see for the future of community-based home care. So we'll talk more about that right after this commercial break.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we have Glenn Furukawa. He's the director of Furukawa Senior Services. And right before the break, Glenn, he kind of gave us a background of how he started the first community-based senior living facilities, 20 years ago, and how things have, changed since then. But I wanted to dive into, your daycare and also your adult residential care home, and talk about the services. What services do you provide in each of them?
Thank you, Andrew, very much. So there's a difference between adult daycare versus adult day health care. And so on a spectrum of care, adult daycare is more of an entry-level type of care. So the emphasis is going to be more with socialization. Of course, safety is going to be the paramount concern, but then create an opportunity for the seniors to come to a location where they can make new friends and they can socialize. Socialization is one of the most important aspects of care. Socialization is great medicine. In fact, when you account for all other factors such as smoking or diabetes or other kinds of things, nutrition and so on, all of which are very, very important factors, the lack of socialization seems to be at the heart of many, many, many types of challenges, especially as we get older, as our world gets smaller. So the opportunity to reconnect, to socialize, to become part of something larger outside of yourself, mm-hmm. is not only something that feels good, but apparently it's good medicine. And so through our adult daycare opportunities, that's what we do, is provide opportunities for socialization. Again, all kinds of things, arts and crafts and music and games and fun and excursions and entertainment. Every day at 11 o'clock, we're exercising for 1 hour. And sadly, that's more exercise than I've been getting recently. But that's very, very important at any age to do that. And unfortunately, statistics will show that those over 75 exercising more than 3 times a week is very, very, very low number. Mm-hmm. And yet we realize the importance of it. So we have a group opportunity to go ahead and do that. And so exercise and socialization, safety being the paramount concern. And it's just this group of fun people that get together, and some will call it their school, their social club, but they're all having a good time.
Now, you touched upon two things. Socialization is key, but safety. Yes. And I wanted to ask you, during this time of COVID-19, how have you guys made adjustments to, continue the socialization, but also keeping safety at top of mind?
Andrew, that's just an excellent question. I think that we're with very unique times right now, right? And so I think that we should have a system in place. And I know that all the wonderful care providers out in our community, a lot of the great service operators, they have had a system in place, such as us, because every year there's also the threat of the common cold or flu,
right,
which for a vulnerable population is very important. Regardless of COVID or what the name is, it's always very important. Mm-hmm. So I know that myself and a lot of great service providers out there, we have all worked hard to do that, to try to maintain that, but especially during these times. Honestly, right now, there's a lot of information out there, a lot of information that either does work or doesn't work. And so it's really important for us just to try to stay on top of the information and remain flexible and fluid and be very, very aware of what's going on in terms of social distancing, in terms of protective, any kind of protective gear. And that might also include protective wear of, let's say, wearing of masks for the seniors that we work with, not only just staff and protective gear for them. I mean, that's a given, but also maybe even other kinds of things that now a lot of services such as myself are doing. So the social distancing, as well as even any kind of screening that we might do, right? Whether that be through temperatures or any other information that we can gather from the medical professionals, just to kind of find out and assess risk. Those are all really important things now, more than ever, but they've always been important, and they'll always hopefully continue to be important. So everything that we're hearing about so far, as far as the social distancing and the protective gear and any kind of screening and those types of things that we can do, absolutely. And also to have the ability to isolate so that there, if there is any signs of any type of symptoms or infection, that there is an opportunity to isolate, whether that be that staff member staying at home or whether that be that senior individual not participating with the rest of the group.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, are there any studies that shows that being in a smaller facility is actually less risk than being part of a larger type, you know, institutional facility?
Yes. Well, it comes down to numbers, right?
Yeah.
So because numbers, and if you just look at strictly numerically, then you would have odds. And so if you're just yourself and another person in a room versus yourself in a room of 100, right?
Right.
The odds will increase exponentially. So you have that. And so depending upon the size, does that play a role? Yes, it does play a role.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your size. I mean, you know, you're community-based, so it's a smaller group.
Yes.
What is that like? Well, I mean, how many residents do you folks have?
Thank you. So what we have, and it varies depending upon the adult daycare, so there's not really a one-size-fits-all. There are some that are small. What are small? In our community, there could be some that have five or less. Ours, which is considered still on the small side, would have 18 at the Pillow location,
wow.
18
mm-hmm.
seniors. We're going to have a new location that's going to be opening up in the Pali area in Nu'uanu. And that one will be upwards of probably 50, somewhere plus or minus 50.
Fine.
Okay,
nice.
So now that's going toward the larger size.
Mm-hmm.
And you have everything in between that. But generally here we have some that are smaller, 5 all the way up to 50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the type 1 arch, the type 1 by definition means that you have 0 to 5 residents, type 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the arch or adult residential care home. And so there at that location, then we would have 5 seniors that we care for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm. And so are you folks at capacity in your 2 locations?
At this time with the care home, we usually run pretty full.
Okay.
And so we are at capacity. I don't generally like to keep a waiting list because what that means is that you have a senior in need of care that's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd much rather refer them out into the community
mm-hmm.
for somebody that can provide excellent care. And that's really important for me is timely care.
Mm-hmm.
And then with respect to our other location, we have had some families that have opted out during this time. And because of their concerns,
right.
And I have nothing but respect for their decision and welcome them back as soon as they're ready to come back. And so slowly at this time now that we're maybe, you know, 6 months into the news of what's going on, 6-7 months into this, we have some families gaining confidence that are now slowly returning. But there was an impact in terms of the numbers that we were serving.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, and I talked to a representative from the Department of Health yesterday, and his guesstimate could be as high as maybe plus or minus 50% of the adult daycares that are certified in our state that have closed.
Wow.
And we're not sure. And he'd like to think, and I would like to think, temporarily closing,
mm-hmm.
right, with the opportunity to come back online hopefully
right.
real soon. So there hasn't been a one-size-fits-all, but in the estimation and the opinion of the gentleman representing the Department of Health yesterday, a very nice gentleman, he was saying, you know, thank you for what you do, and you are considered to be really not only essential, but an important part of our community, because those we serve are also families with doctors and mm-hmm. nurses and social workers. And so these are the families that are not only being served by us, but are out in the community serving others.
The front line.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, does the Kupuna Care Bill help families to financially afford daycare and things like that within your facilities?
There's a variety of different opportunities and that have been there that are like scholarships available.
Right.
Right. And so there are some things, and that being, you know, there's different offerings at different times. So I would advise that the families try to keep up on that. Elderly Affairs Division
right.
might be a good resource mm-hmm. to kind of look into and see what's available.
Yes. Okay. And Glenn, I wanted to ask you this last question.
Okay.
Where do you see the future of community-based senior care?
I hope it grows, and I hope
right.
it continues to grow, because we have the longest living residents in the United States here in our beautiful state of Hawaii.
Right.
And so I hope that it continues to grow, but not just for sake of business, but mm-hmm. for sake of quality care.
Right.
quality care is the number one concern because mm-hmm. it's the kupuna that came before us that make Hawaii the beautiful state that it is for us, and it's mm-hmm. our opportunity to pay them back in a way that we can through our love and through our care and through our compassion. So in answer to your question, I hope there's more, but I hope there's more quality care.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, if somebody wanted to contact you about any of your services, Glenn, how can they do that?
Thank you very much. I'll make it quick and simple with the phone number, 737-4345. And again, that's in the 808 area, 737-4345.
Well, Glenn, thank you so much for being on our show. Again, Glenn Furukawa, owner and director of Furukawa Senior Services. Mahalo.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Have you ever been worried leaving your loved one alone? Whether it be illness, a fall, or just personal safety, the Electronic Caregiver Mobile Medical Alert System with GPS technology will give you that peace of mind. With the simple press of a button, an on-call staff member will be able to locate you and provide expedited help by alerting family or emergency medical services. To learn more about the Electronic Caregiver, call Priscilla Wong at 954-0820 and mention Kupuna Wiki to receive a free gift. Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
And now we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
This mom-and-pop fixture located in Nu'uanu served refreshing shaved ice, onomusubis, and snacks for the past 9 decades. However, they closed their doors in 2015. What was this store called?
For a chance to win a Long's gift card, be the first person to call us with the correct answer at 808-792-5188. And remember, if you want to hear past episodes of the Kupuna Wiki radio show, or you want to hear from our service providers and what they have to offer, go to our website at kupunawiki.com or call us at 808-792-5188.
Again, we'd like to thank this segment sponsor, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show, Hawaii's senior resource. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Again, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you back next time on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Kupuna Wiki Radio Program. If you'd like more information about today's topics, please call us at 792-5188. That's 792-5188. Or visit us online at kupunawiki.com. Until next time, aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource.